Welcome to the Power to Change today. And did you know that some sayings we hear quoted as Bible verses aren't really in the Bible? Did you know the three wise men, for example, are not mentioned anywhere in the Bible? Neither is money is the root of all evil. There's no reference to how many wise men there actually were there. And it's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not just money. So I thought we could start today's broadcast with a little Bible trivia. I'm going to read six simple sayings or mention six simple sayings to you. And I'm asking you to count how many of them you think are actually in the Bible. Are you ready? Number one, God helps those that help themselves. Number two, cleanliness is next to godliness. Number three, spare the rod, spoil the child. Hang in there, you're halfway done. Number four, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. Number five, this too shall pass. And number six, God works in mysterious ways. Well, how many did you count? If you said zero, then you are truly a modern-day Bible scholar, because that's exactly right. Those of you who counted one or more, I'd love to hear your thoughts on my Facebook page. Some of them are close to being biblically correct, but they're not. But let's look at that last one real quick. God works in mysterious ways. He absolutely doesn't. In fact, he reveals himself through Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Just read the Gospels and you know what God is really like. He heals people. That takes the mystery out of how he feels towards you. He comforts people. He forgives people. He delivers people. Everywhere he goes, he raises people from the dead. That's our God, and he's not a mystery. And so in today's teaching, I'm talking about the real Jesus and how he will heal you everywhere you're hurting and transform you from the inside out. Check this out. A few years ago in my life, I realized that the religion that I was experiencing, it lacked some things. It lacked freedom. It lacked joy. It lacked love. It lacked a sense of purpose and worth and value. The religion I was experiencing, even the form of Christianity, so to speak, I was saved and I was even preaching, but I was not experiencing the joy and the freedom and the love and the peace that I believe the gospel is intended to bring us. Now, the gospel is definitely intended to save us from sin and from death and to give us a relationship with God, forgive us of our sins, and we'll spend eternity with him in heaven. But it's also, the gospel is good news. And anytime you hear good news, it brings you peace. Anytime you hear good news, it brings you freedom. It brings this kind of news anyway. It brings freedom. It brings joy. It brings love. It brings a sense of value and worth to your life. Like, there's something about this good news, this gospel, which is what the word good news comes from. Gospel means good news. And so, but what I was experiencing in my life was not the, it was really a diluted version of Jesus. And how do you know when it's a diluted version of Jesus? Well, when you're not experiencing joy, when you're not experiencing peace. The gospel brings joy. The gospel brings peace. You know, the Bible says, good news of great joy when Jesus comes. Good news of great joy, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. In other words, God's will towards men. Listen, if Jesus' arrival on earth was meant to be good news that brings great joy, then if we're not experiencing great joy, we're probably not experiencing the good news the way that it was intended to be experienced. We're probably not, if we're not experiencing peace in our lives, then we're probably not hearing the good news the way God intended it. So I want you to hear the good news the way God intended it, to produce great joy, to produce peace and the love of God and a sense of value and worth, rather than guilt and condemnation. And I don't know where you came from, but in a lot of religious settings, there's a lot of guilt being offered. There's a lot of condemnation that's being peddled. There's a lot of works that are demanded a lot of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts in order for you to get God to, you know, to keep his promise. I bought into those lies for several years that somehow I've got to make promises to God in order for him to keep his promises to me. How many have tried to make a deal with God at one time or another in your life? Like, Lord, if you do this, I'll do this. Or if I'll do this for you, will you do this for me? And even though we try to make those deals, here's the real deal. The deal is God says, look, I'll tell you what, move out of the way. I'm making a promise to you. I'm swearing to it in the blood of my son. So just
Get out of the way of trying to make a promise to me and just receive the promise that I made to you, because promises are not received by us performing for God, just like what she was sharing earlier, but the promises of God. The Bible says He is watching over His promises to perform them. We don't have to perform for God to keep His promises. God is the performer. All we've got to do is receive the promises. And I know there's some people here that may challenge a previous belief that you had. Now, no, we got to promise God we're going to pray. We got to promise God we're going to be holy. We got to promise God. How's that worked for you? Every time you promise God you're going to pray every day, you fall asleep. You push snooze on your phone every time. Why? Because you've got to stop having this arrangement with God that is built upon your promises, and you need to come into the arrangement that He made with you, where He makes the promise, and all we do, He says yes to the promise, and all we have to do is say, amen. That's what the Bible says, right? But I had bought into this mixture of law and grace in my life a few years ago, and where we got to do for God, we got to do for God. I felt like I had to make deals with God, that I had to keep the law. Even though I was saved by grace, I kind of had to keep the law so that I kept the blessing flowing in my life. And then I also had to, I was saved by grace and I knew that, but I had to have, find a little nice piece of grace in my theology, but didn't recognize that grace isn't just a small little piece of the gospel. It is the gospel. I'll show you that in a minute. That Jesus is the fullness of grace and truth. And so I asked God to show Himself to me without the filter of my upbringing, without the filter of my past, without the filter of my opinion, without the filter of the popular preaching that goes on in the world today. I didn't want any filters. I wanted the real gospel, and I wanted to understand it the way it was intended. And so I just would keep reading the Bible and keep reading the Bible. And I would come up with scriptures like this, because when I started asking God for this, these scriptures would jump out at me, like Deuteronomy 1, verse 26. I'm going to show you something in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 26, because the number one problem in the world today, whether it's terrorism or fear or tragedy, and whether it's wars and rumors of wars, whether it's mental illness, whether it's this guy who was addicted to pornography, or somebody who's addicted to something else, or like I said, emotional illness, or all of these things. And I think of terrorism, and I think of things that are perpetrated by religious people, quote unquote, in the name of God. Where does that stuff come from? Where does that hate come from? Where does that murder come from? Where does that kill the infidels come from? It comes from a wrong concept of God. All of the problems in this world come from a wrong concept of God. The number one problem in the world is a wrong concept of God. So we got to get this right. We don't have to get our behavior right. We got to get our concept of God right. Because when you see Him the way that He really is, it will draw you to Him. When you see Him the way He really is, it will cause you to want to worship Him. We don't worship because that's what's next in the service. We worship because we're in awe of His glory and His love. Now, I want to show you the root of rebellion, because many people have been taught that you're just rebellious because you're just rebellious, and you got this rebellious spirit, and you got this rebellious attitude. But I believe that all rebellion comes from the root. Rebellion is a fruit. Adam and Eve rebelled against God because they began to question the nature of God, and they began to question His love for them. And notice what these people did, the same thing that Adam and Eve did. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. Why did they rebel? He explains it in the next verse, verse 27. Because you complained in your tent by saying, because the Lord hates us, He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. So they had the mistaken belief that God hated them, and so He brought them out of Egypt to deliver them into the hands of the Amorites to destroy them. So they believed that He hated them and wanted to destroy them. Now, I know that's an extreme belief, and I know that there's probably nobody here that actually consciously believes that God hates you, wants to destroy you, but subconsciously, because of religious nonsense, religious BS, bologna sandwich, because of all the garbage that is preached that is a mixture of God's grace and the law and legalism, because of that, people have this idea that, why don't you care, God? Don't you care for me? If you don't think that you've ever experienced that, think about it. The disciples who walked with Jesus for 3 years, they said, when they were in the middle of the storm, Lord, don't you care? Martha, who's hosting a party with Jesus as the main guest, she says to Jesus when she's bothered, don't you care? So if we ever think that we never think that way, we're deceiving ourselves, because every one of us have thought, when a problem hits, when a storm hits, we're wondering, God, where are you? Don't you care? God, why am I going through this? Why did this happen to me? Why was I abused as a child? Why was I neglected? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Lord, didn't you care? Of course he cared, but he also gave a certain measure of authority to people. And if your parents didn't protect you, or if you were put in a situation with somebody that was unsafe and they hurt you or they abused you, that wasn't because of a choice God made. That was because of a choice a human being made. And we have to get rid of this concept of God that somehow he allows everything to happen. No, we allow stuff to happen. Jesus said, heaven allows whatever you allow. Whatever you bind or forbid on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. Why? Because heaven cooperates with the will of man. Heaven cooperates with what you allow. If you allow yourself to fall apart emotionally, God will allow that. Now, not because he wants that, but because he will not override your will, because love gives people a choice. God, if God loves us, he lets us choose the destiny we're going. He lets us choose our path. He lets us choose. He doesn't make us. He said, look, I'm warning you not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But he didn't stop them from doing it, because he allowed what they allowed. Now, he warned them in advance, don't do it, because this is what's going to happen. That's pretty nice of him, don't you think? Don't eat from this, because this is the consequence of that. Now, they rebelled because they thought he was holding out on them, and they didn't think that he loved them. And here, these people didn't think he loved them. And all rebellion in this world starts from a mindset that God is holding out, or God, it doesn't love you, or God doesn't care about you. And that mentality, that concept of God, is what I'm on a mission to rid this earth of. And whatever my small part is in that, I'm gonna do everything I can to change the mindsets that will change the world. Malachi chapter 1, I've mentioned this scripture several times. Malachi chapter 1, verse 2, in the New Living Translation, look at what it says. It says, God is talking here to his people, and he says, I have always loved you. 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 I've always loved you. You mean even when I was in my sin? I've always loved you. You mean even before I was born? I've always loved you. You mean even after I failed yesterday? I've always loved you. You mean after I've done this and done that and shaken my fist at God and doubted God? And I've always loved you. This is God's attitude towards us. This is the mindset that we need to adopt in our lives. This is the mindset that we need to embrace. A mindset is an attitude that takes precedence over all other facts. So you could say an attitude is a mindset that takes precedence over all other facts. And so our attitude needs to be an attitude that he's always loved me. It's a mindset that no matter what else happens in life, no matter what anybody does to me, no matter what storms that I'm in, no matter what failures I have, no matter what successes I have, no matter how many times I fall or fail, I have a mindset that takes precedence over all other facts. And that mindset is, he has always loved me. I want you to say that. Say, he has always loved me. Boy, it just washes your mind when you begin to believe that. And it washes you of that wrong concept of God, that the Jesus that kind of picks and chooses who he heals. Well, I think I'll heal you. I think I'll bless you. I think I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. No, he doesn't pick and choose. And let me give you proof of that. That there was a woman who came through the crowd. Remember the woman who was with the issue of blood for 12 years? And the Bible says it's in Mark chapter 5 and in Luke chapter 8 and in Matthew chapter 8, I believe also. And it says she pressed through the crowd and she kept saying to herself, she said within herself, there was something that she believed within herself. Inside, she believed, if I just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. Now, that can't be based on what somebody else told her. It's got to be based on what she believed within. That the power of God is inside of you for your healing, and it's inside of Christ, and you're in Christ. Therefore, the power of God is always available for you. But listen, it says, remember what happened? It says she kept pressing through. She kept saying to herself, if I touch his garment, I'll be healed. If I touch his garment, I'll be made healed. I'll be made whole. And then she busts through that crowd, grabs a hold of his garment. And the Bible says, and virtue, power went out from his body into hers. And what does it say happened next? It says he looked around at the crowd and asked his disciples, who touched me? Who touched me? In other words, Jesus did not even know. We know God is omniscient, but Jesus is telling us here that it wasn't up to him whether this woman was going to be healed. He had healing flowing through his body. He had healing flowing through his covenant garments. He had healing flowing through his life. But it was up to her. He said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those said, Master, the multitudes are pressing around you, and you say, who touched me? And he said in verse 46 of Luke 8, but Jesus says, somebody touched me because I felt power going out from me. He felt the power, but he didn't know who it was that grabbed a hold of it. He didn't know who plugged in the electrical cord. But it was this woman. And then he looked around. Look at what it says in verse 47. He looked around, and when the woman saw that it was that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus didn't say, you know what? I don't know if it was my will to heal you. I think you need to give that healing back. No. He didn't even know who it was. What is my point? My point is that this false concept that God picks some to be blessed and some to be healed and leaves others in a sick condition or a broken condition, none of us are going to be able to explain all of the whys behind why certain things happen and certain things don't get to the place where we think they should get to. God will answer all that for us. But the one answer that is never the true answer is that God meant it. Listen, Satan is the enemy, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus made it abundantly clear. He said this. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come. He's making a contrast. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. And then he said, so people say, well, what is God really like? Well, all you got to do is go follow Jesus around in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to find out what God is really like. Because wherever we see Jesus said this. He said, if you've seen me, I believe it's in John chapter 5, where he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So whatever we see Jesus do, we know that is the will of the Father. That's what God is like. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when we see Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, before he goes to the cross, what do we see Jesus doing? Because whatever we see him doing, that's what God is like. So when he comes in contact with sick people, what does Jesus do? He heals them. When he comes in contact with condemned people, what does he do? He forgives them. When he comes in contact with dead people, what does he do? Raises them from the dead. When he comes in contact with hungry people, what does he do? He feeds them. When he comes in contact with depressed and lonely people, what does he do? He comforts them. He heals them. He delivers them. That's your Savior. That's your King. That's the real Jesus. That's what God is like. There is no mystery to this. There is no mystery to this. We got to get rid of the God works in mysterious ways theology. That's in the book of Second Hesitations. You can look it up later. God doesn't work in mysterious ways. God reveals himself by sending Jesus and says, this is who I am, and this is what I look like. This is the spitting image of me. This is the Son of God, the image bearer. Listen to him, receive him, and whatever he tells you to do, do it. That is who God is. He is whatever you see Jesus doing, that's what God is. Every time Jesus comes in contact with somebody that is hurting or lonely, he loves them. Even the guy that refused to follow him, as when he refused to follow Jesus, it says, and Jesus looked upon him with compassion and with love. You see, even the Pharisees, Jesus was there to heal them too. You can find that in Luke chapter 5. I don't have time to get into that. They couldn't receive it because of their religious tradition and their pride and their self-righteousness, but his power was available to them too if they would have humbled themselves. And who are these Pharisees? And who are we to be like Pharisees who, when Jesus is the Son of God, who are we to be self-righteous? When Jesus, God in heaven, humbles himself to come to this earth as a man, the humility of Jesus we talked about last week, comes to this earth as a man, becomes obedient, not just obedient to the laws of God, but obedient to the point of death on a cross. Not an easy death. The hardest, worst death that any human being could ever imagine, even to this day. The mutilation of his body through the cords, the piercing of his head with the crown of thorns, the beating and mocking and abusing and the plucking of his beard out of his face. These are all the things that Jesus went through. The worst death of the worst criminal. When we were the criminals, we were Barabbas, but we were the one that Jesus took the place of. When Barabbas deserved to die, Pilate said, the people said, give us Barabbas. And so they crucified Jesus rather than Barabbas, just like they crucified Jesus rather than me. They crucified Jesus rather than me. This is the Jesus that we're talking about.
Well, as I shared in today's teaching, you know, a few years ago, I realized the religion that I was experiencing lacked freedom. It lacked joy. It lacked love. It really lacked a sense of value and worth. I realized I had bought a different, diluted version of Jesus, because the true version of him brings joy and freedom and love, value and worth. I felt like I had to make deals with God, promises to God. I felt like I had to keep the law, yet find a nice little place for grace in my theology, but didn't recognize that grace was a person. Jesus is the fullness of grace and truth. I really had a wrong concept of God, as many Christians do, as many people around the world do. So I asked God to show himself to me without my upbringing being my filter, without my past or my opinion or even the popular preaching that exists in the world today. And that, my friends, is the number one problem in the world today, a wrong concept of God. And when that changed in my life, everything changed. Everything got better. I really found the secret to happiness and absolute freedom. God changed me from the inside out. And there's a reason why. It's because of the things I'm sharing with you in today's broadcast. God's love changed me. The real Jesus changed me. And when you get this teaching in your heart and soul and let it penetrate, everything is going to be all right. Now, listen, my announcer wants to tell you more, and I'll be right back, but get a hold of this teaching, Jesus the Healer and Changed by Love. And Jesus the Healer is a part of a bigger series, Jesus, the real Jesus. Man, this will change your life forever. I want to get it in your hands. Check this out.
Are you experiencing true joy and peace in your life? Do you sometimes think of the Bible like a rule book? Do you feel pressure to save yourself from loneliness, rejection, fear, and despair? Are you tired of trying to find yourself, fill yourself, free yourself, and fix yourself? Today, you can experience God in a bold new way as He begins to change your life from the inside out. with Greg Redekow's brand new four-part CD series, Jesus the Healer, and his book entitled Changed by Love, you will discover how to tap into the real Jesus and experience real grace, real joy, and real love. If you, a loved one, or someone you know struggles to know the real Jesus, Greg Redekow wants to send these resources to help you find sheer pleasure in the presence of Jesus. You can keep them for yourself or pass them along to someone you care about. If you call or click today, we'll rush you today's teaching in its entirety found in Greg Redekow's brand new four-part CD series, Jesus the Healer, and his book entitled Changed by Love for only $35. As a special one-time bonus, call or click today and we'll include Greg Redekow's teaching, Jesus Your Healer. Today is your day. Act now and you will receive two complete teachings, Jesus the Healer, Jesus Your Healer. And the book, Changed by Love, for only $35.
Well, Jesus wants to heal you everywhere you're hurting. Call the number on your screen now or connect with me on our website. I want you to experience the real freedom, the real joy that comes from having a renewed mind about what God is really like, what Jesus is really like. Now, let me pray for you, and then feel free to call and click. It's going to change your life forever. Father, I thank you for revealing to us, showing each person watching what you are really like. Lord, deliver us from a wrong concept of you and open our eyes to see the real you, just like you did to the guys on the road to Emmaus as they were walking with Jesus. Lord, you revealed yourself to them. I pray for that revelation to begin today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, remember, send me a message on Facebook. Tell me what's changing in your life. I want to engage with you. And listen, partner with us as we get this gospel to the world. I want to join your faith and I want you to join mine as we fulfill God's great commission together and get the love of God and the grace of God, the goodness of Jesus Christ to this world. Now, don't miss our next broadcast. I'll be talking about the Holy Spirit, how he turns ordinary people into extraordinary people. Tell someone about it. It's going to be really powerful. Thanks so much for joining me today. God loves you and so do I. Don't miss our next broadcast, and I will see you then. God bless.
That's what the Holy Spirit does, turn ordinary people into extraordinary people. Listen, people that are filled with the Holy Spirit are no longer people that fit the pattern of their past. We become spiritual, we become prophetic, we become anointed, we begin to perceive things and see things from God's point of view. We begin to become the light of the world. The Holy Spirit overshadows us and he turns us into something special, something extraordinary. He turns the untalented into talented. He turns the unfaithful into faithful. He turns the broken into vessels of healing. God uses untalented, incapable people to do mighty works.